Psalm number 9, tonight on this 4th of July. A simple verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. President George Bush was visiting Burlington, and Mike Mack had a garage business, repair business, right next to the tracks. And he had a sign that he was going to put over his garage door there, and it was going to be Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I'm not exactly sure how it all happened, but the Secret Service people, of course, scout everything out ahead of time, and they advised him that he better not put that sign above his door. But certainly that would have been a good sign for a president of the United States to see that God tells us exactly what happens to countries that forget God. And we are a nation that has forgotten God. Now, a lot of people, they aren't really guilty of, as guilty as others of forgetting God, because they don't know the history of our nation. And they've lived in ignorance, and so they don't know much difference between yesterday and 3 weeks from now. And so this may not mean much to them. But in our history, God has been good to America. And there is much to remember about God's goodness to America. And as I thought about that, there's a number of things that I thought about that we ought not to forget. We ought not to forget that God is the one, probably beyond our comprehension, has protected America. In Proverbs 21 and verse 31, that great verse, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, when I think of divine protection of America, certainly there's many different sovereign acts of God in our history, nation's history. But, we remember God's divine protection of our country and the troops of Washington as that night they were surrounded by the British. And they were running out of supplies. And at any moment, the British could have, in that winter, advanced on our troops and really destroyed them and annihilated our country's chances of ever being a country. Yet the Lord led George Washington to cross the river that night. And the river was icy, and the troops were stationed on the river, and so there was a night escape. Well, about daybreak, I think it's true that I'm not exactly sure how many of the troops, but less than 70% of the troops had crossed the river. And there were yet 30% or more of the troops to cross the river at daybreak. And they would have been just sitting ducks, so to speak, for the guns of the British as they were crossing over the river. And it would have been the end of the chances of America. But that night, that morning, there was a thick fog that covered the river and prevented the British from seeing the troops escaping right from underneath their eyes and escaping from that that a place where they were surrounded by the British troops, no way of escape. And just as the fog lifted, the last troops were reaching the other side. God, in His providence, had protected our nation. God had protected our nation. Safety is of the Lord. I think of that event at the end of World War II, when there were orders of to drop the atom bomb over Japan. And there was a list of cities. And in a certain order of target number one, target number two, target number three. And I believe that, I don't remember exactly the city it was, but target number one, unknown to the Americans, was just the place where there was a U.S. prisoner of war, Japanese prisoner of war camp that was filled with American soldiers. That night, that day, there was a cloud cover over that city. And so the pilots who were instructed to drop the bomb in that place had to divert to target number two. Unbeknownst to them, it was the protection of God over thousands of U.S. Prisoners of war. Safety is of the Lord. Our nation, I suppose we could count hundreds and hundreds of events. Of course, until 1930s, textbooks of America all had a, not all, but they typically had a picture of George Washington on a horse and surrounded by Indians. And because in the French Indian War, is that right? The French Indian War, George Washington was leading in that battle, and there were bullets whizzing all about him, and there were bullet holes in his hat, and there were bullet holes apparently in his, the edges of his coat, and the Indians watched this. And here was this man who, in their minds, had some kind of divine protection. For he certainly, sitting on that horse, was a sitting duck, an open target that should have been hit by any one of those multitudes of bullets, but he wasn't. And until the 1930s, that picture of George Washington was in the textbooks as a symbol of the fact that God had divinely protected this man. And safety is of the Lord. Our nation has forgotten of the protection of God. And, I didn't read the article. I saw a headline about U.S. Ships in near Iran, and it said U.S. ships are an easy target for Iranian missiles. And there, as I thought about that, it crossed my mind for the first time in its history. Our military has observed Gay Pride Month. Our nation has forgotten that safety is of the Lord. Our Secretary of Defense, our President, has very little comprehension of the protection that God divinely has put upon our nation to mock the God of heaven in such a immoral declaration as they have just are now observing. I fear for our troops. I fear for our military. to lose the divine hand of God's protection. Our nation has been provided for in a wonderful way by God. Our nation has forgotten the provision of God. Of course, in the world, America, the richest nation in the world. Everyone wants to move to America. The Chinese want to move to America. The Russians want to move to America. The Cubans want to move to America. And yet our country is forgetting that God has specially provided for our nation a special way. I think of those simple verses, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, it's interesting as you go on the different fields of the world and mission fields of the world, you think of especially poverty-stricken places like Africa, and you talk to people about or you discuss the subject of tithing. You know, it's something that is so far from the mind of the average, even Christian, in the land of Africa. But you know, I wonder if in the history of America, as you think of it, has there ever been a nation? Of course, Britain probably would be parallel. But has there ever been a nation in the history of the world where more people tithed, percentage-wise, than any other nation of the world? Where tithing was just a normal, a Christian thinking of the people of God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, to go to poverty-stricken countries, and you will find that the churches are filled with people who do not tithe. I remember being in Burma, and Pastor Hines was with us. We were with Pastor Hines. And he was going to go on to India for another conference in India, and he was talking to the man in India over the phone and getting ready for the next step of the journey. And he had sent money ahead to get food and all sorts of things for this next, series of meetings. And people were going to come, and they're going to give them food. And the pastor on the other end was, saying, we need some more money from you. And Pastor Hines said to him, well, don't you teach your people to tithe? And the pastor, he says, we're too poor to tithe. And Pastor Hines says, as long as you talk like that, you will always be too poor to tithe. But you know, this is a part of remembering God, isn't it? And as I thought about that, I thought about the pilgrims coming to America. And you know, remembering the pilgrims came, and they came at exact. The weather had prevented them from coming to America in the summertime when they would have been able to build, their houses correctly and find food. And they ran out of food and used all their food from their ship and et cetera, et cetera. And as they came to America, they would have starved. But in the providence of God, was it Squanto, who led them to the caches of food that hadn't been put aside by an Indian tribe that had been wiped out by a disease. As they came to that, went through that winter, those stockpiles of food, of corn and other things that had been put aside by the Indian tribe was God's miraculous provision for them to make it through that first winter. God's provision. But you know, I thought I also thought of the Great Depression of America. The Great Depression of the 30s. Thousands of people were without work. It was a terrible time. It lasted all the way into World War II. But did you ever think of what the Depression was preceded by? The Depression was preceded by two significant events. The Depression was preceded by the great apostasy of the 1880s and 90s, and by 1920s, all the denomination, Protestant denomination and the Baptist denomination, had been infiltrated by apostasy and rationalism and modernism. And that led to the moral decay of the 20s. You know, you look at the pictures of the roaring 20s and you think, how could this happen? How could a nation become so immodest so quickly? And those roaring 20s were quickly ended with the Depression. Because why? A nation had forgotten their God. A nation had forgotten their God. God has provided for our nation in a unique and special way all through these years. And still, it is one of the great exporters of food all across the world. We forget that it is God. It is God who causes the barns to be full. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those nations that forget God. We need to be careful not to forget of God's protection. We need to be careful not to forget of God's provision. We need to be careful not to forget God's principles. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 4. And certainly there's many illustrations that could be given, but Deuteronomy 4, notice what the Lord says. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and of the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given unto you. Ye shall not add one word unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And, of course, we have the principles of the success of the nation of Israel. Now, if you know anything about our nation, the laws of our nation are based on, and the history of our nation is based upon, the statutes and the judgments, the moral provisions of the Old Testament. You go to the Supreme Court, and there are countless intimations and pictures of the giving of the Ten Commandments. Those who study the clothing of our nation will tell you that the clothing and the modesty of our nations was based upon the principles of the Old Testament. That is our heritage. These were the principles that made our nation great. Now, I was just thinking about some of those great principles. I was thinking about the principle of the Lord's Day. You know, it wasn't until the 1880s, Sunday was the Lord's Day. Not 1 hour on Sunday morning. No. The whole day was the Lord's Day. It wasn't until the Eastern European Catholics came and Lutherans came, that especially Catholics, that Sunday no longer was the Lord's Day. It was 1 hour in the morning for church, and the rest of the day was a day of pleasure. But you know, in the history of our nation, until those 1880s, there was certainly less than 5% of our population was Catholic. And the reason was is because our nation was built on the fleeing from the persecutors and the oppressors and those who did not believe the Bible. But finally, their sin and their tactics caught up to them, and they fled Europe because of the plagues and came to America, the land of plenty. But the Lord's Day. You know what? The Lord's Day as a day of rest and as God's day has been a historical principle of our nation. William Gladstone, the Prime Minister of Great Britain at one time said, "You tell me where people are on the Lord's Day, and I'll tell you the future of that land." It's still true. And that's not just Sunday morning, that's Sunday night. You know, we need to remember the principles. I thought about the principles of modesty. I'm thinking about the principles of modesty. You know, as you study the history of our nation, many places had laws on the books that limited a woman's neckline. It was common lifestyle in America that men went to the beach if they had time, which most of them didn't. They went to the beach fully clothed from the neck to the ankle. You know what? Didn't come out of the sky either. Nor it came out of the principles of the Bible. And you know, but we somehow think that kind of stuff just came out of the sky. No, it came out of the Bible. It came out of the principles of God's Word. The morality of our nation was not an accident. You know, I think of that great principle. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. America would have its founding principles was a principle of hard work. The Judeo-Christian ethic, it was called. Think of the contrast of the nations of Europe that are trying to have a 30-hour work week or a retirement age at 60 years of age. Think of the fact that they are bankrupt. You know, what happens when a nation forgets God? I guess we could, the principles of God's Word. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a curse to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. That's the principle of God's Word. Righteousness. Lastly, quickly, profession of Christ. How quickly a nation changes from the 1890s to certain Supreme Court justices saying and making declarations that America was a Christian nation. He that confesseth me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I mean, if you want to talk about a testimony of blessing on earth as well as entrance into heaven. But you realize that it was the Scopes trial in America when they unwisely chose William Jennings Bryan to defend creation. Until that point in the history of America, the press was pro-Christian. But ever since the Scopes trial, the press has been anti-Christian. All the way to 1960, in which the Supreme Court justice basically eliminated God from the public sector. What's the future of our nation? What is the future of a nation that forgets God? Now, all of these are principles that we ought to apply to our life. We ought to apply that to our life. We ought not to be afraid to profess Jesus Christ. Amen? We ought not to be afraid to profess Him by our mouth, and we ought not to be afraid to profess Him by our dress. We ought not to be able to be afraid to profess Him by our way of life. We should not be ashamed of Him. It is all, He is our God. And there is a definite blessing upon the people who are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not to get our principles of living from a changing culture. We ought to get our principles of living from the Bible. You know, all other families may fail, and et cetera. But you know, our family doesn't have to fail. Our family can be blessed. Let's go back to the principles of the Bible. Because it is God who is the key ingredient in life. And God exalts those who stand for righteousness. It is God who provides. It is God who provides. We must honor the Lord with our substance. We must honor the Lord with our substance. We must make sure that we put God first. Young person, don't you dare think that you're going to get by and succeed in life if you forget God. And you put Him last and you don't tithe. It won't happen. There's a God in heaven who sees those who put Him first. Make sure you remember that it is the protection of God that we need. Physically, nationally, we need His protection. The best thing we can do is to live for God. Well, our nation has forgotten God. We need to make sure we don't catch the wind of that thinking. Amen? And we better make sure that we don't, we do exactly the opposite. You know, to do exactly the opposite, there's two things, a number of things you need, but in a human sense, there needs to be kind of a, I call it a kind of a gritting of your teeth and going right against the grain of things. You know, what do I mean by that? You know, if a person's lazy, you know, they aren't going to become a hard worker by just, you know, deciding to. Now, that would be a good start. But you know how you become a hard worker if you're lazy? You have to, of course, get God's strength and be right with God. But you know what? You have to kind of go against every part of your emotional structure. You have to go against every part of the lazy bones, every part of your body. And you know what? You have to do everything in you that's unpleasant to overcome that sin. You know, that's what it takes to put God first in a world that forgets God. You have to purposely go against the spirit of the age and decide and get his strength to go against the bondage of the false thinking that pervades all around us. Of course, it helps to get truth in your mind and to fill your mind with the truth of the Bible and the truth of history so that our thinking will help us overcome these sad things. But we need to pray for our country. I fear for sad days ahead for our military. Can you imagine? Oh, I don't want to think about it. The curses of God upon a nation that forgets God. Read about them in the book of Deuteronomy. They're ahead of us. Oh, that God would work in our lives that there could be revival. This Sunday night, I believe I'm going to preach on a practical message on revival. Practical ingredients of revival in a local church. Pray for me that the Lord would lead me, that God would work in our midst. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and for these truths. And Lord, we know that there's a special group of people here tonight. There are a group of people that haven't forgotten God. And I trust that, Lord, they will be encouraged to continue on that path to put you first. And Lord, we don't really know how to pray for our country or even our president who don't know thee. We know that the key is for people to get saved so they can be released from the darkness of sin and their sinful nature and liberalism. And I pray that, Lord, that even our own hearts and even in this church and in our families, that there would be a seeking first the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, pray you bless our prayer time. As we seek you, might you work in this place for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.